I'm Miriam Neff with Widow Connection New Beginnings, and this program, Starting Over Financially. I've been a counselor for 26 years, have written some books, and done a little bit of living.
I'm Valerie Neff Hogan. I'm an attorney and a certified financial planner, and I've counseled with couples and singles regarding budget and benevolence issues over the past 20 years in churches.
Starting Over Financially is a new thing because we want to help people who've gone through a difficult time, a hard time, people who maybe didn't have a handle on their money and they really don't think they can. And we're here to help you and say, you can do this. And it's incredibly important that you do this.
So this is for people who have had some unwanted change in your life. Maybe a spouse has died. Maybe there's been a divorce. Somebody in your family's been incarcerated. Something that was an unwanted, unexpected change. And all of a sudden, your financial picture has changed. Maybe you weren't the one to do finances and find yourself all of a sudden needing to do them. Well, this program is for you.
And we think that we're kind of uniquely qualified to do this. And I can just say for me, I became a widow 9 years ago, and I had to start handling my finances in a more real, day-by-day way. And in starting Widow Connection, because of that, people have come to our ministry and said, we need help with this. What we've found is when these unwanted changes happen, finances are almost always, always impacted negatively. And at the same time that finances are impacted negatively, you feel like you just don't have the energy to invest in dealing with that. So that's a little bit of my personal reason for thinking this is important. So Valerie, tell us a little bit about why you think it's important from your own life.
Well, from many instances and many clients or people that I've worked with when they've come to the church for benevolence or budget counseling, some of the themes are kind of repetitive. You'll find somebody who has not ever really done the finances or known much about paying the bills or about investing, and suddenly they're kind of thrown into this new situation and just feel kind of overwhelmed. So what can happen is something that was originally painful, here comes another wave of pain because now finances have added or problems from not being able to handle the finances kind of add to that pain. But today we've got some encouraging news. We've got basically the three things you need to do to get a handle on your finances and the six steps you can take.
Yes, and all of these will be on widowconnection.com, and there's a place there for starting over financially. So while you can take notes while we talk, if you don't, if you're driving, that's fine. Go, and all of these points will be there. But we say you need three things, and they're really basic, but these are really the only three things you need in order to get started.
So I'd say number one is just the desire to do so. Now, this desire could come from you really wanting to learn about this, but as we were saying, a lot of times it comes from basically from being pushed out of that comfortable nest in a really unfortunately negative way. You've maybe not been the one to do finances, or something has happened where all of a sudden you need to look at it in a new light. So wherever the desire came from, whether it just came from wanting to or necessity, to have the desire to do something and not let this become a problem area as well is the first thing someone's going to need.
Even desperation is okay as a motivator. That's okay too.
Right.
Then one of the things is just a willingness to read and become informed. And the fact that you're listening to this today means that you're curious about gathering some more things. And I know in my situation, I would go to the library and check out all these books about investments and things I didn't know about. And I read, there were things I learned that frankly weren't helpful and things that I learned that were helpful. But it does take a little bit of time. But again, avoiding pain down the road is a good thing to do because things do change whether or not you feel you're in charge of it or not.
I remember many years ago now when I knew you were going to be all right in this area when you had just become a widow, but you walked in the house and you had a stack of books almost reaching over your head from the library of things that you were going to look into. And I thought, all right, you're going to be all right.
Well, at least I carried in an armload and started looking.
Right.
But part of this is the practical information you gain from just being willing to be informed. Then the other thing, anyone can master their finances. They just need basic math skills of adding and subtracting. You don't need to do logarithms. You don't need to do pi r square or whatever all those things are. And if you use a calculator instead of adding and subtracting, that's fine too. But just those that basic add, subtract, being willing to put some numbers down, those are things you need to get started.
And it's not high finance we're talking when we're reading it, you know, about the basics or how to get started or to do the basic math skills. It's something that anybody can do with the desire to do so.
For sure. And I might mention, too, that Valerie's a family person, a mom, husband. They do budget, and three children, I shouldn't say children, three young men in college, so they know a little bit about number crunching.
Right.
But let's start with one of the most important things of six steps that we think are really important. The first step, we encourage you, if at all possible, to not make any major decisions for a while.
Let's take the example of someone who's just recently become a widow. I would just say, you know, financially, if at all possible, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes there are things, you know, that are major decisions that must be dealt with right away, like in the situation of a foreclosure or something like that. But let's just say, for example, someone's recently become a widow, not with regard to small financial decisions, but major financial decisions such as selling your home or changing investments. I would say, if at all possible, can you hit the pause button? Just take some time to, you know, start reading up on getting yourself financially educated a little bit, and don't make rash decisions or decisions really in the midst of great pain.
Exactly. And I think of examples of people who've come to our ministry, and some decided to sell the big house quickly and then buy a small house. And then they realized they wished they really needed to not have that much money invested in housing. It might have been better to rent, but they were deciding to do a deep dive really quickly. Now, this is an example of one person's decision. Someone else might decide, you know what, I want to get away from these sad memories. Maybe it was a divorce. And it may be that that is a good decision, but it needs to be made when there's not so much maybe anger or even revenge or whatever other emotions are tied up with that. But we say emotions are intense, and emotions can fool you and trick you into thinking, this is the only thing I can do. And we're here to say, wait, if at all possible, wait 2 years. And like Valerie said, if it's necessity, one woman who had a mortgage and two leased cars and then came to having one income, not two, she had to act. So those things happen.
But many financial planners will say, you know, conventional wisdom or just wisdom in general is to hit the pause button. Don't do any, make any major decisions in the first year or two if it's possible, because your feelings and thoughts and education on these things will probably change. The next thing we'd say is, once you've hit the pause button, let's start to track expenses.
Here you might find some surprises, and it may be that you are opening mail that you didn't open before now that you're a single person, a divorced person, a widow, whatever the circumstances, but you start seeing bills coming in that you might not have been aware of. And remember, we're not starting out saying, okay, sit down and create a budget. We're saying just write down what you're spending now. Valerie and I are very different. I do paper and pencil. I mean, I have this chart, and you can download it free on the website, and I write down what I spend every day. And some days you don't write down anything, but some days you write down a bunch of stuff because you paid bills. However, Valerie?
Well, your method, let's just say, some might say that's kicking it old school, but you can also do this by computer, by phone, by app, any of that kind of thing. And even writing down, I would just say whatever gets it done. And some people use multiple methods or try a couple different things until they see what sticks. The important thing is, I know budget is not a favored word, but let's just call that a spending plan. You really can't make one or get your arms around this until you know what's coming and going. So you really need some time to track to find out what reality is. The next area, I would say, is pay your bills promptly. But something that's kind of almost between number two and number three, tracking expenses and paying your bills, is, for example, in the Hogan household, we have a bills drawer. I mean, have a place where bills go, because if they're going everywhere or they're half open laying on your counter, they tend to get eaten by, oh, I don't know, vacuums, recycling bins, that kind of thing.
The dog.
Yes, you want to have some place where these things can, you know, be stored.
Well, and when you're keeping track of all that you're expending, you do have paper that collects. And as Valerie is saying, you want to have some kind of organization that you put in place that works for you. And for her with a family of five, that's complex. On the other hand, they're tech savvy, so they do things in different ways as far as their budget is concerned compared to what I do. Now, on this whole thing, I think we need to include a biblical, actually, it's not a biblical suggestion. It's the way it needs to work for a good budget. Proverbs 24:27 says, "Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house." Now, you may say that's not relevant today. Put your fields in order.
And what I would say is that is saying work, earn the money, pay your bills, because part of having your fields in order is having paid for the seed you just threw down, and then you can build your house, which means the spending comes basically after the earning and, you know, paying your bills. So our paying your bills promptly, let me just add on to that, that basically reinforces to pay your bills, but to pay them on time. It just, I think for most of it is very painful to look at those charges that come when bills are not paid on time, because you basically received the same item or the same service. But if they're late, now you got a charge just for the extra days. So to me, in my nature as a budgeting person, that is just painful to pay for something, you know, basically that you got nothing but a few extra days of not paying your bill for.
Is that kind of like taking a bill and lighting a match to it and seeing
right.
it go away? We don't like that. We want to keep that money and spend it for worthwhile things. But paying the bill on time, too, you record that you spend it. And one of the things you do after time, a budget begins to appear before you. For instance, you may say, wow, I didn't quite realize that my utility bills were sporadic and some are bigger than others. And then you think, okay, I paid that utility bill, and the next one is smaller or bigger. But see, this helps you see a picture of the reality of how you're living.
And if you've been budgeting or paying, let's say you've been paying $50 a month for the last 6 months, tracking it in your electrical bill, you can pretty much budget $50 a month. Now you know what that should be. Another thing when we're talking about budgeting is, you know, there might be just an aversion to, boy, now at this point in my life where things are really difficult and painful, I don't want to add pain by now looking at a budget. That's no fun. But what I'm saying is there's kind of a tsunami of pain that's going to come from ignoring it. And so in budget counseling, we like to say you're either telling your money where to go or wondering where it went. And believe me, whatever you've been through that's been painful, this is going to be added pain if on top of that you have to wonder where your money went.
I would say after you've been writing down your expenses and you're paying your bills on time, another thing that you should do, now kind of brace yourself, you're going to say, I don't know if I want to do that, but I'll tell you, this is important. You might want to request a credit report that shows what your credit rating is. Now, I would say this, we didn't put this as under point number one, because there may be some things that surprise you. And we're not going to go into detail about that here, because it may be something that you don't feel you can do. But I'm simply saying it's wise, because as a person doing your own finances now, for whatever reason that was, for you to see that information, it's just information that will help you know if you have to change cars, if you have to rent an apartment. You get the surprise when you look at the credit score that you have requested rather than when you apply for something and get denied.
Right.
So it's just one of those things that you can do. It's really a practical step to take.
Right. And with all the fraud and just credit theft and identity theft out there, you want to run a credit report to just make sure that everything that is on there is actually yours. And so you really don't want big surprises there. But this is all part of just, you know, I know you're in pain. I know this is a difficult time in your life, but it's just getting your arms slowly, you know, step at a time around these things and knowing your credit score, knowing where, you know, the money has gone, organizing bills. This is all part of just getting your arms around this thing.
And I can tell you, not only from my own experience, but other people that have given me feedback, when you begin to get a handle on this, it's actually fun. And you may think this cannot be. Let me assure you, it gets to be where you want to do your budget at the end of the month because you know what you're dealing with and you're not being shocked by things. And you actually, as Valerie was saying, instead of your money going where you don't know, you're telling your money where you want it to go. And that's really a great sense of empowerment.
Now, some people, and you might not be able to see this over the radio, but I'm making this little smile slash smirk thing here because some people would say, boy, budgeting, you know, finding my bills, fun is a strong word. And that may be true for you. And if you're having a difficult time, this may not add to the fun, but what it will be is an empowering. And eventually, when you do get your arms around this, the first step of facing reality might be extremely difficult. But the thing is, you will emerge stronger from doing this. And there will be a point, even if you never call it fun, which some people may not, you will get to the point where, hey, I faced this. This was a hard thing, and I didn't let this come and get at me as well. I've got my handle on this. So next step here, so we've said no major decisions for a while, track expenses, pay bills promptly, and then find out how much you have in assets and liabilities.
One of these exercises is sometimes you think you have equity that you don't. If you're paying for a car and you think, wow, this car is worth this much and I owe this much on it, you might find that you owe more than the car is worth. The same could be true of your home.
Right.
So realize, find out what the things are that actually have some worth, but also what your liabilities are. And we've had people that have opened bills they didn't know their spouse had incurred. So getting a handle on that. Now, Valerie's talked about having drawers for bills that come in. You might just have a couple of stacks on your desk, or maybe just someplace. It doesn't need to be a sophisticated spreadsheet. So you begin to say, okay, what are the things that I have, and what did I think I have but I don't have?
Right.
Getting these documents together. You may have some life insurance policies. You may have some stocks.
And I would say, you know, when you're talking assets, liabilities, equities, some people might be saying, wait a minute, this is all getting to sound a little bit like high finance. What are you guys talking about? So for someone who's truly not done finances and budgeting before, it's basically your assets are what you own, O-W-N, and your liabilities are what you owe. So there's stuff you own and stuff you owe to somebody or somebody else owns it until you pay it off. So you're going to want to run one column on a page of everything that you own and everything you owe and take a look at the bottom of that page. Now, some people will call the balance their net worth. Frankly, you know, as a believer, I hate that term because we all know that the Lord, you know, doesn't, he ascribes worth to us because he's our creator, not because of what we own or what our quote net worth is, but that's what it's called in, you know, financial terms. So I guess we'll let them have that until we come up with something better.
We just have different things we're going to do with not what is our net worth, but what is God's that he's graciously allowed us to use in this journey, even when the journey gets rocky.
So the next thing would be to organize all these financial documents. So there are all kinds of things coming at you at this point. If you're down to this number five here, you've taken in your bills, you've created some, you know, maybe tracking forms, and now you may have a budget begun from those items you've tracked. You've got your bills, you've got this assets and liabilities sheet. Now you've got quite a few things floating around. And my advice about that would get them filed somewhere. Get them all in one place. Look for what insurance you have. Look for bank statements. Basically, just make yourself a financial section and start to get all these things organized. So you have one place to go to. And by the way, all of the kitchen counter and tabletops doesn't count as one place.
It doesn't count?
No.
What about a dining room that's covered with papers? No. Okay.
Yeah, maybe not such a good filing system.
Well, our last step is we encourage you to talk to other wise people about the decisions you make. And I say this because, for instance, if you've lost someone, if there's been a death in your family, that first year may be a year of numb. So if you'd think, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, wait, talk to someone. I know in my own life, Valerie, you were an incredible balance for me. You could say, Mom, what are you doing? Or you haven't purchased a new item of clothing for a long time. And, you know, just things that are practical. But you know what? The person that you ask for advice, the person that you listen to needs to be someone that has your back. I call it collecting your board of directors, and it's not that you have a boardroom and fancy chairs, but you kind of have a table in your brain, and certain people that you let sit in those chairs at your table, and you listen to them because they have your back. They want to give you good advice.
And these would be people that can give you good, wise, biblical counsel on these things. They don't have to be a formal financial advisor, although that might help, and they might not be have to be an attorney, but these would be people that would be wise in these areas of life that you can go to and talk about. So there may be someone in your life, but they're really financially astute, they've managed their money well, and I would say, and they also have your best interest at heart. I mean, that is key, because if you want all those things to be present, if you're going to ask someone's opinion, but you want to get wise counsel from a couple others. And you also, if you're going to talk with a professional, you want to vet those people and find out what is their reputation. Go ahead and call references. Someone who's an established professional should be happy that they've established, you know, great references out there. But you want to have these people around you that can give you wise counsel. You may have a friend that's great to hang out with, but if they have 22 outstanding credit cards, this is not the person we're going to talk to about budgeting.
Absolutely not. And one of the things that I say is be careful for affinity fraud. This may be the person that says, but I used to play golf with your ex and I know more about money than he did. Or it may even be someone in their church that's not really looking out for you. And I hate to say that, but I've learned to be practical, and you need to watch out for someone who's like, oh, I like you, I know you, I can help you. Right. I can help your stuff to my wallet.
And for example, and unfortunately, sometimes this can be people in your own families. So we want to be very wise and conscientious and careful with who we decide to be on our kind of board of directors to give us wise counsel. You want to choose somebody who's abiding by the biblical principle in Hebrews 13:5, where it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. You want a friend that's wise about money, but isn't loving it and isn't basically, you know, having their own interests at heart. They have yours first.
We say love God, not stuff. Right. And you can love your own cup of coffee that you made for a few pennies instead of a $6 cup of coffee.
Well, today we've talked about all these different things. You don't need that many things to master your finance, a desire to work on it, basic math skills, a willingness to read up on financial items. And then we talk about our six steps.
We've also said all of this with a biblical basis, because we know that it's God's stuff that He's loaned us for a bit. And also, He wants us to enjoy what we have with a grateful heart.
Right.
So if we have things, enjoy it. If we have few things, enjoy that.
And in this process, just remember, even though you've been through maybe a horrible time, you may be in sadness and shock, and now you're going to try to get your arms around this financial thing to make sure more pain doesn't come, invite the Lord into the process. He cares for you. He cares about your well-being. And this is part of it. So it's okay. Just get started. Sometimes you're just taking one step at a time, a small step, but the Lord can be there in the process, being there with you and loving you.
We want to say thank you for joining us. And I want you to know, too, that everything we've talked about is available on widowconnection.com on our homepage after starting over, under starting over, all the points that we said. And Valerie, your wisdom, I think, and also your humor, too. I like your humor.
Well, thanks.
We laugh about some things because we have to be lighthearted, but we understand it's hard to get started. As Vala said, God loves you and He wants to help you through the process. So check out widowconnection.com. Look at starting over resources, and we hope this has been helpful.
You can do it.